You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors alongside Fred Davis. He is filling in for Kevin Hagelin, who is on his way to Germany to teach little kids how to play baseball and about Jesus.
Mm. And so what about Jesus playing baseball?
It's a mission trip. I mean, I'm sure that he was a carpenter, so wooden bat.
If Jesus was a baseball player, me and my boy Ted Johnson used to do this all the time. If Jesus was a football player, what position would he play? And Ted always used to say middle linebacker. If Jesus was a baseball player, pitcher, he's obviously a starter, or a closer. What position would he play?
Shortstop.
Yeah.
Best athlete on the field, most capable.
Rangy.
Yeah. And, like, listen, I know center field has control over everybody.
Yeah,
but shortstop has command over pretty much the field.
Yeah.
So, or maybe catcher.
That's my pick.
Because you got to throw down runners. You got to call the game. You're a lot of intelligent work going on.
He's the man with the plan.
Yeah.
That's true.
That is a good point.
True.
That is Alec Medford as well. You can hear frequently here on the KNC Masterpiece.
How would you feel about pitchers waving him off?
They wouldn't. They would know better. They would know better is what they'd learn pretty quickly. But he would forgive them, and that's the most important part.
That's right.
Lots of moves happening in the trade deadline, except for the Rangers have not made any of those moves as of yet. Now, my question to you is, how desperate are you? 877-881-1053. How desperate are you for the Rangers to make a move right now? If they don't make a move, do you throw your hands up in the air and say, that's it with this team?
You'd like them to. By the way, you were a newspaper reporter at one time, were you not? Okay, real quick, we have to correct, keep our journalistic integrity here on 105 Through the Fan and KNC Masterpiece. I incorrectly said that Evaldi pitched in the eighth inning. He did not. All right. So I'm going to blame it on the Victory Plus app because it was on the fritz last night. They were up 6-1. I went and did something, came back. Next thing you know, they were 6-3. I could have swore I heard him say Evaldi pitched into the eighth, but as I was wrong. We had a couple people texting the show and say, what the hell are you talking about? Evaldi did not pitch in the eighth, so shame on me. Self-correction. There you go. But no, to your point, would I be surprised? I just think you've kind of backed yourself into a corner because, like we said, I mean, they don't have any money. I think they're going to do something. I don't think you made all the, you didn't make the Dunning move and clear up $500,000 to not make a move. They're what, $6-7-8 million somewhere in there underneath the tax threshold.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make a move of some kind. And at the very least, I think they'll do it just for the simple fact that to send a message to the locker room, right? Like, hey, look, boys, look, the locker room knows we just got to be better.
Yep.
Okay. We've dug ourselves in a little bit of a hole. Ken Rosenthal talked about this the other day on foul territory. But I think they're going to do something, and I'll just go ahead and say this. I would not be surprised, given the dearth of relief pitchers that are out there. I think Robert Garcia has kind of established himself as the closer. I really, really do. I think you can make do with the closers, with the bullpen help you have. I would say 6-1, half a dozen to another. I think you need to go get a bat.
Listen, this team has been putrid at times offensively.
Yes.
And one of the guys that you are relying heavily on this offseason to be a big-time bat has a, like, 140 batting average right now.
Your boy Jock?
Jock Peterson.
Jock Peterson?
Who, when we were at spring training.
More like Jock Strap Peterson.
When we were at spring training this year, we saw him lightly stretching, lightly going through drills.
Not on my baseball team.
And we were kind of giggling a little bit.
Mike was
kind of sitting there going, look at that guy.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's endearing because that's his personality. Well, it's okay whenever you're crushing. Whenever you are then you're like, well, you got to blame all the lack of preparation. And that's how it feels with him. And you're right. I think that they made some interesting things this year where Bochy's been like, I'll just grab a DH guy, and I'm going to grab one of these minor leaguers that's an outfielder and I'm going to put him in there. And granted, the Rangers have been very adamant. We've asked Chris Young, we've asked Bochy, What do you see with the DH? Is it the same as the old DH was where you just put the big guy with lots of power in there? And they're like, no, we need the DH to be a rotational player. And so that's how they view the DH. But it would be nice to have a Mitch Garver. Yesterday, Bochy told us that backup catcher is something that he would feel that they need. So I wonder if they can find another bat that could also DH as well. Another bat that's a catcher. Because when Higgy went down the other day, they were very short at that position.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I'll tell you what, he's swinging a hot bat anyway right now.
And they've made moves now 3 years in a row, or 2 years in a row, at that position where they've said, when we got Austin Hedges right before they went on that World Series run, and then granted, not a great hitter, but somebody that was a clubhouse guy that could play the position.
And let me ask you this, because, look, 2023, I wasn't here yet. The one thing, that you know, from a baseball perspective, that everybody said was the Achilles heel of this baseball team going into the playoffs that year was the bullpen.
Yep.
All right? And the bullpen caught lightning in a bottle. And, a group that went from being like the Achilles heel went to being one of the strengths of the team, right? Mm-hmm. So my point in all that is this. You've got the best pitching coach in baseball. All right. You got Bochy, who has forgotten more about how to manage a lineup than most of us will ever know.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I'm just saying, I think you've got enough talent already there. Unless if you get a Phil Maton, hey, great. He's been in high leverage situations before. He's got a World Series ring. He's been there, done that. He's a great setup guy. You can work with that. John Gray's going to get it together. All right. Robert Garcia has already shown ever since that slip up, I think it was against the Angels in that 10-game road trip that they had. He's been, what, 3-for-3? And I think he just tied Luke Jackson for the team leading saves after last night's game. My point in all that is this. You can make hay and you can go on a run, as has already been shown, with the bullpen that you have right now.
Yeah. I think...
just worry about the bot.
I think,
and that you don't have it.
If you're in the playoffs, you're pretty much going with two pitchers. And
absolutely,
those two pitchers at that point in the season, they can go 7-8 innings.
Yeah.
Like they're protecting DeGrom through the season by saying you're going 81 pitches and you're done. 85.
Kamar and Jack can give you some long relief.
And they can give you long relief, and then you can turn when you need to. But those guys, those two pitchers right there, you're like, we're going to rock with them. So I see what you're saying, and that you shorten everything for the rest of your bullpen that you already have, and you feel better. Now, I want to add something to what you're saying about a bat, though.
Yeah.
The DH position for the Rangers is hitting 167 this year.
Wow. I'm no Peter Gammons, but that's not good.
With a 518 OPS, they only have 7 home runs out of that spot.
Mm.
And that's a spot where you expect...
No, you need power out of that.
Either you're hitting power, or you're hitting and getting on, and they're not doing anything. Yeah,
maybe you're not hitting them for a bunch of home runs, but at the very least, you're a threat to get on base in some form or fashion.
And so if you're looking through this lineup, that's the weakest spot in the lineup for sure, and they know it right now.
No, I would if
but I see what you're saying about the bullpen. You feel comfortable with it. But before this season, we were like, all right, who's closing?
Yeah.
As the season's gone along, Mike Maddux and company have worked, and they feel comfortable in a couple situations. And again, with some of these starters, they can go long.
No, right, and again, Robert Garcia is starting to sort of establish himself as that guy. Again, I don't want him more than an inning. Because after an inning, he's not the same guy, and we've seen it. And again, that's what happened in the Angels game, and I think there was another game before that that was similar to that, where he went in the second and then just kind of crapped the bed. That said, last night against the Braves, all right, high leverage situations, boom, shut him up, close him down, and that's exactly what he did. I think you can live to fight another day when it comes to the bullpen. You've got guys that will come playoff time, whether it's a lighter, whether it's a rocker, who can give you 2-3 innings if you do. You know, you got the Jacob Latz of the world. Okay,
yeah,
I gotta believe
Jacob Latz is showing up for you this year.
I mean, is Tyler Mahle? I mean, I gotta believe he's coming back at some point, right? I mean, whenever he comes back. Oh, by the way, Patrick Corbin is a guy who's won a World Series and knows what it's like in a high leverage situation and can give you a spot start if need be. So I'm less concerned about the pitching staff moving forward. I feel like the bullpen is starting to solidify itself and let Robert Garcia be that guy as far as the closer is concerned, but you need somebody with some pop.
From the 214, look at Seattle. We have to upgrade our bullpen in some way. Seattle and Anaheim got better yesterday. Or they changed their team for what they perceive as better yesterday. Seattle looks like, for the first time in a long time, they're going for it.
Yeah.
I will say I'll believe it whenever they do it. That's been my saying with Seattle because they always let you down. From the 903, very desperate, need a bat and an arm. I do not think this team from the 817, as currently constructed, can compete for a World Series. They need bullpen help. Another bat would be great. And then from the 817, not desperate enough to part ways with a top five prospect or multiple top 15 prospects. Okay.
I would.
Go back up to the 817 as well, and that's the same person who says the farm system's already pretty thin and don't need to deplete it even more. That's where I think it's taking so long for the Rangers to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the clock gets closer to deadline time,
yeah,
teams will become, they'll back off of things that they want. Because if they really want to move a piece, they'll make concessions for it.
Absolutely.
Nolan Ryan a long time ago said, well, it's tough to make a trade in the middle of the season because teams know they have you over a barrel.
Yeah.
And then he said, then you try to make a trade in the offseason, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. So making trades is a difficult time. You really have to finesse it.
Right.
And I think Chris Young, the longer he waits in the day, the better it is for him. He's working deals. He doesn't want to give up Sebastian Walcott. He doesn't want to give up some of their other top prospects because they are pretty thin in the minor league system. They're still trying to develop that. But he knows he needs something. So he's saying, if I can wait and then say, all right, here's my offer, last minute, take it or leave it, boom, then we can get out of here with a piece that we like. That's what I'm feeling.
I don't doubt anything you just said. I just think, though, that you're playing a dangerous game when you do that.
You need it. I
don't disagree with anything any of those folks have said. I'm not saying you don't need a bullpen arm, just the simple fact that an extra arm is always a good thing, especially considering, like they alluded to, I mean, look, we already knew the AL wild card was going to be a dogfight.
Yep.
All right. And oh, by the way, you are now tied for third. You are in that third spot, and that's why this next series with the Seattle Mariners is going to be gargantuan. On top of that, now the AL West is stacked, all right? Because you know Dana Brown down in Houston is working the phone, all right? And Jim Crane has no problem, especially considering that this is a team that a lot of people thought were going to take a step back.
Yeah, I thought they'd flip and
rebuild. 2025, right? And so now they're like, all right, we're in the thick of things. Now, you know, half the team's, the Space City Cowboys, for crying out loud, because they've just been beaten up to death. But they're going to make a move. Dylan Cease might be a guy. He may not be. Who knows? Considering that the Padres are going.
Padres made some big moves today.
So, I don't know that it's going to be any kind of earth-shattering move. But all I'm saying is this: if you've got a chance to go get a difference maker, and I don't know who's left on the market that would qualify as that. Again, outside of Sebastian Wilcott, now that Mason Miller's gone, I think everybody else is fair game.
I also don't know. I don't know where Spores is in the process of it all.
Exactly.
And maybe they know, and they're just like, we're waiting until later, and then he'll come in and he'll be fine. Maybe they know more about that process than we do for sure. So hopefully that's something they have in their mind as well. I love this from John Blake, former PR guy for the Rangers. Uh-huh. Actually, I think he's still with them. He's just kind of in that phase of transition of power, if you will. Peaceful. John Blake said it was 35 years ago today, 1990, that Nolan Ryan became the 20th pitcher to win 300 games with an 11-3 victory over at Milwaukee's County Stadium. Nolan Ryan threw 146 pitches in 7 2/3 frames with 8 strikeouts, his second try for number 300. He had an ND on July 25th at the Yankees, or against the Yankees at Arlington. He threw 146 pitches in 7 2/3, and a manager let him.
That's just inefficient. Like, I mean, how many? I mean, this guy couldn't put anybody out.
Oh, come on. Come on. He's this all-time strikeout.
What are we doing?
I don't know. That's the thing that I'd love to know. Did we have a number of his pitches that he threw in his career? Because
I know with the Mets, I want to say he pitched, or not with the Mets, but I know there was one game where he pitched like, 198 or something crazy like that?
Yeah.
And then came back the next game and threw like 140?
And that was, I mean, again, that's a different era.
You said what, 146?
146 pitches in 7 2/3 frames.
Okay,
and
so.
And only 8 strikeouts.
So let's just put it this way. My man was averaging about 21 pitches an inning.
Jeez. And now, if you have 21 bonkers. Pitches in an inning, you're out in the next two innings.
Well, let's go back to the other day. Kamar Rocker threw 92-4. So he was on that Nolan Ryan. He was on that Nolan Ryan track.
That little trajectory.
I got three left in me, coach. I got three left in me. We're only at 92.
I promise I can do this.
That's crazy.
So that's.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's that right now. And again, it looks like Hendry Mendez, outfielder for, is heading to the Twins. One additional player will go along with Mendez to the Twins from the Philadelphia Phillies. So more action going on around the league. Rangers still patiently waiting. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it is time for Fair or Foul with superstar Fred Davis. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is time for the Lunch Rush, the Expressway. And it is time to do this. Let's get something away! That's right. Be caller 10 877-881-1053 right now to win your pair of tickets to see Live and Collective Soul August 13th at the Pavilion Toyota Music Factory, courtesy of Live Nation. 877-881-1053, caller 10.
Collective Soul, huh?
Yes.
Another 90s throwback.
And Live. Yeah, and Live is, you know,
Lightning
I Alone.
Crashes. Whatever the hell
song,
that's.
That song was sad.
Well, that first album,
mm-hmm.
Banger. And yes. Then they never did anything.
They had The Dolphins Cry, and that was it. And then they've just lived
off
that
album. The Blowfish?
Was it? No, that was The Dolphins Make Me Cry.
That's what it was.
Don't forget, next week, August 7th, at Jake's off of State Highway 78 in Sachse, it is your chance to join the fan as the fan phenom is back, baby. Your chance to audition with the audition and be part of this. We're teaming up with Jake's Burgers, DFW Staple, and also this is a little hint at how it goes. Current night host Blake Elliott, he is a fan phenom winner.
Yeah,
Kevin Gray has gone on to work with the Mavericks. Nick Angstadt, Locked On Mavs. There are lots of opportunities. We've seen this happen. Heck, we got on a weekend show. That's how Kevin and I got to where we are.
Yeah.
We started as a Sunday morning 9 to noon show. First show, the day that the Mavericks put the Lakers out of their misery in the playoffs.
Okay.
Then we won a championship, and everybody just correlated us with championship.
I mean,
and they were like,
sense.
Yeah, so it made sense. And then we took over Saturday. Chris Arnold had Saturday morning.
Got you down.
He went to nights. We took over Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Then when Chris Arnold moved to middays, we took over nights. Then we took over middays, we just go where Chris Arnold
wherever,
goes.
Hey, that's not a bad place to go.
That is our decision, is just not go where Chris Arnold goes.
So this have is your you taken any shirtless pics on Facebook like Chris Arnold has?
We used to do the No Shirt 9. Okay. So at 9
Dude,
o'clock.
Dude, hey, he'll do it too.
At 9 o'clock every night, we would do the No Shirt 9. And then whenever we had the weird schedules and we came on at midnight instead, we would do No Shirt Nighttime Noon, because midnight is noon for the moon.
Yeah, well.
And so we created the No Shirt Nighttime Noon. And so that is an opportunity. Again, you can get in, get this, get some experience. Sometimes for these fan phenom opportunities, this is the first time you've ever been on a microphone.
It really is. It freaks some people out. Like, and it separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls, because anybody can talk with their homies, their friends, their family around a dinner table in the car. But when that mic goes hot,
mm-hmm.
game changer.
My son tried. He was like, he was going to do a podcast with his friends.
Yeah.
And he said, all right, it's going to be called Dave's Thursday, because they go to Dave's Hot Chicken.
Okay.
And he started doing it, and they got the microphone. They got 2 minutes into it, and he came to me and said, Dad, how do you talk for 4 hours?
Yeah.
And I said, well, we have breaks. But obviously, it is, like, to be able to have a full segment of conversation takes a little talent. Take some personality.
A little BS.
A little bit of knowledge. A lot of BS.
Yeah, a lot of BS.
A lot of BS.
Let's call it what it is.
And right now, we will get into some more of that BS with Fair or Foul with Fred Davis.
You guys know what time it is for all my Fan After Dark, all my fatties and all my tolas that tune in to the Fan After Dark, or if you've listened to any Fred Davis radio nonsense at any time in my collective life, it's time for a little fair or foul where I will read a story. Maybe Alec Medford's got one. Maybe Corey Majors has a story. We're going to throw it out there to the masses, and you will determine whether or not it is fair or foul. That music lets you know it's time to get started. All right, let's get this first one underway. Gamers, are you a gamer, Alec?
I am.
Okay, so this will be right up your alley. I know you got kids, so you're a gamer too?
Yeah.
All right, I am not a gamer, boys. All right, I am not a gamer. I've only had one game system in my life, and that was a PlayStation 2. All right, so that just tells you how old I am. I did have a Sega, the original Sega, not a Genesis, but the 8-bit Sega for a short bit of time, and then I don't know what happened to it. So here we go to all you gamer nerds out there. Gamers around the world have collectively spent over 25 billion hours, equivalent to 2.8 million years, playing Call of Duty, according to a breakdown by Business Insider. To put that in perspective, that's more time than the entire span of recorded human history. The Call of Duty franchise, launched in 2003, has become a cultural force in gaming, entertainment, and even military simulation. This figure includes game day across all titles in the franchise, from Modern Warfare to Warzone. The franchise longevity and addictive gameplay loop have helped it dominate for over two decades. Millions of players log in daily, with some spending thousands of hours competing, streaming, or engaging in virtual missions. While some hail the game's influence on teamwork, reflexes, and strategy, others raise concerns about digital addiction, screen time, and wasted potential. Still, the data proves one thing. Call of Duty has secured its place in digital history. Whether that's good or bad depends on who you ask. Fair, pal! Gamers have logged over 25 billion hours, a.k.a. 2.8 million years, playing Call of Duty, surpassing the entire timeline of human history.
That's insane. So, is it fair that they've done that, or that the number is real?
Okay. That's the beauty of fair or foul, Corey.
I'll say fair, and here's why. I play this game.
And
I know there's a Tolo right here that I talk to every single day. We talk about the new guns and metas and all that stuff. And somebody just said, let me get that gamer tag. Long Night Brewing. If you want to find me somewhere, that's my name. And but here's the deal. Three of my best friends.
Yeah.
Two of them were in Army. One of them was Air Force. I introduced them to this game. Yeah. Actually, one of them already knew. This is how we keep in touch every night.
Okay.
Or a couple nights a week.
Yeah.
We get together, play the game.
What system?
I'm on a PS5.
Okay.
They're all on PS5 as well, or PlayStations as well. And that is, like, we get in, we play for 2 hours, maybe three, maybe four. And that's when the wife, she's like, no, go ahead, have your time. I'm gonna TikTok, I'm gonna Netflix documentary, some murder situation. Watch The Hunting. If you haven't seen The Hunting Wives, don't watch it with your kids around, is all I'm going to say. First 5 minutes, you're going to see something that you might want to see. But they're all like, hey, go. She says, go ahead. I enjoy that time because me and my buddies get to catch up, and we get to go shoot some people.
So fair.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Alec?
Whew. I think it's fair. I think it's very fair. But you know what? I almost leaned foul because I thought this was going to be like a, you know, time spent on first-person shooter games or like, you know, just like this console altogether.
This is one single franchise.
This is one single, and that just shows you how incredibly successful, and that's why they keep making games every, 2 years now, and I haven't been able to keep up. I haven't played Call of Duty in years. I used to be addicted. I used to be part of the problem. I was a statistic at one point for this stuff.
What do you play now?
For me, usually it's the sports games, like MLB The Show, college football. On PC, I've played like the Marvel Rivals for a while, kind of fizzled out on that. Ever since I was a little, I played World of Warcraft. I still do here and there because I know how to party. But it hit me whenever you said, that's just Call of Duty. I'd say at least 5% of that was me in middle school playing zombies on Black Ops 1. I would play all night long with the buddies, getting in those parties and, you know, some of the most inhumane conversations ever known to man, happening at 2 in the morning because, you know, we were 15, had nothing better to do. Yeah, I think it's fair because I've been there at one point.
Okay.
I've been there, done that.
Well, I'm going to be the outlier in the group, and I'm going to say foul.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to say foul. And for a couple, for one, I'm not a gamer, as I've already alluded to.
Yep.
Okay, my son plays video games. If I have to hear him say he's going to hop on the game one more time, so help me God.
I also play, my sons will join me sometimes.
Which
I enjoy that too. That's fun.
And that is, you know, that's probably one thing that maybe we could have connected on. I don't know what it is. I stopped playing video games in college.
Okay.
And it just... I think, Madden 04.
All I played growing up was
Madden. The last Madden I played.
Like, Madden was pretty much it.
Yeah.
And then this jumped into my life. So, during COVID was when it all happened.
I'm going to, in the one line that jumped out to me, others raised concerns about digital addiction, screen time, and wasted potential.
The wasted potential part is definitely, like, I could finish my novel.
Yard work, honeydews that you could be knocking out, but you know, you got the buddy time, the homeboy time, so I appreciate that. And one more thing to add to my foul list, courtesy of Alec Medford. This is just one game. We got a whole society of people.
Something new happens every
just
game.
Just sitting there playing video
it's
games.
It's not like Mario where you're just going across the screen. This da, 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 is something da, 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 da. New happens
I'll tell
every
you what,
game.
We're better off for playing Mario. Da, 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 da. Okay? And think about this. And we did a fair foul about this the other day. In fact, it got my boy Blake in a lot of hot water, and maybe Alec can appreciate this, is, you know, by 2030, 50% of women aged 25 to 44 will be single and childless.
Oh, no.
Okay? Single and childless. Now, of course, Blake went on a warpath saying that he won't date women with kids.
Me either.
Okay? Well.
You know how women are.
Thanks, PJ Washington.
PJ knows. PJ knows. Okay? And then, of course, people started chiming in saying he was the worst, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I love my stepdad. We're not saying stepdads are bad people.
Yeah, I'm married.
Okay?
And she has kids, so.
So my point is this. All right? This is we've got a problem. Mm-hmm. We've got young men who are more concerned with playing video games than chasing women. And I'm telling you right now, I think that's the degradation of society right there.
That's it? That's where it started?
Well, that's one of them.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot more.
No, that is the only one. I'm going to say that's all of it.
It's Toto.
But again, I'm dating myself here. But again, I grew up in an era where play video games, chase women. I know what me and my friends were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you did in the military. That's what you did in the Navy, was you chased women.
You know, I also have seen some TikToks. My wife says this too.
Yeah.
You're not out drunk somewhere driving home.
Yeah.
And you're also not out cheating on me. So I'm fine with you being right there. In that chair, I know where you are, and you're safe.
That's awesome.
So now I feel like a 16-year-old.
That is
you know?
Awesome.
Now I feel like a 16-year-old kid. It's like, hold on. I could be, I mean, you know.
But at our age,
just
look,
happy that
we're
I'm
not,
safe.
At that, but at the same point, too, though, like, we're not out. I mean, I would much rather stay in. You know, you can go out and do your thing every now and again, but, you know, younger men, if you're in your 20s, if you're Alec Medford's age, you got too many guys your age. And I'll just say this. When I was an operations manager for an oil and gas company in Houston for a number of years, the number of early to mid 20-year-old dudes.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Who A, had ED problems, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look, see, and that's not one of the things that's
the
in
way,
there.
By the way,
video games.
Men's T Clinic. Can
maybe
help
they
out.
Need to hit up Men's T Clinic,
Men's
okay?
Absolutely.
Because I'm telling you right now, if you got a problem with your little man getting big again because you're sitting there playing Call of Duty too damn much,
that's true.
All right, get it together.
Yeah,
get it together, people.
You'll be all right, though.
So there you go.
Enjoy yourself. Go see Men's T Clinic.
Yeah. Like I did that? Like I weave that in there?
I do like that.
There you go. So, fair on y'all's end. I say foul. I like the idea of hanging out with your homeboys, but at the same time, too, we're 44. That's okay for us. Mm-hmm. Alec Medford's age, Blake Elliott's age, all you fan phenom types out there, go find you some women.
Go outside.
Go outside.
Touch some grass.
Yeah, go out.
Thank you.
Is it Keenan? Yeah, Keenan was doing his David Ortiz impression.
Okay.
And he was talking about different dating websites. And he said, here's my dating website, www.gooutside.com.
Seriously.
And he was like, just go outside and you'll meet people. And I was like, man, that's actually pretty good advice.
Right. Are you on Hinge too?
No.
Okay. I asked that because Blake is.
Okay.
And we had to shame him out of using, he was using a fake name for the longest
time. Why?
Yeah, that got me. I tuned in and I heard that live.
Crazy.
And I texted him. I was like, dude, this is how you develop trust issues before y'all even exchange any kind of information or plans.
Okay, real quick. He's already said this on air, so I'm not putting anything out there that has already been said. You know what his fake name was?
No, I don't. I just found out that he had a fake name on Hinge.
It's a regular name. Somebody here at the station.
Oh, is it Corey Majors? That one's not going to work for you, buddy.
Kevin?
Trust me. That one's not. Oh, Kevin.
RJ?
Chris.
Chris Arnold? Did he go as Chris Arnold or did he go as Chris Elliott?
He didn't put the
Arnold
part, but it was just Chris.
Oh, okay, just Chris. Hey, it's a very safe name.
Super safe.
It's a very safe super place. Safe. People women feel like safe this? With the
see,
name
See, I can't. You see, when I say Fred, people automatically assume I'm giving a fake name. Huh. 8 times out of 10, women think I'm giving a fake name.
Okay.
Oh, is it really Fred? Well, what's your real name? No,
it's Fred.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 44 years old. So.
Fredward.
You know?
Just some.
And it's just plain. And that's the thing that they have a hard time wrapping their brain around. It's like, no, it's not Frederick. It's just F-R-E-D.
Well,
I can't help my parents. That's what they wanted to go with. Boom.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. My middle name is the letter J. And for the longest time, I thought it was J period.
You and Donald Trump.
Yeah, I thought, yeah. For the longest time, I thought it was J period. Homer J. Simpson.
Yeah, Homer J. Simpson.
And then whenever my first son was born, Avery, we went with Avery J.
There you go. Carry
the tradition on.
Fantastic.
I go to do the birth certificate. The girl who's typing up the birth certificate, maybe I dated her once, and she used to cut my hair. We went on one date, all right? But she cut my hair for a while. That was awkward.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I got a kid and a wife now, so we're done.
It's good to see that you guys had both advanced in life, though.
Yeah. And so she's typing it up. I said, Avery J. period Majors.
Yeah.
And she said, you can't put a period.
No, but I can.
On there. And I was like, what do you mean? And she said, that's... You can't, it won't, the system won't let me do it. And I was like, mine is a J period. How's this possible? Yeah. I went back and looked at my birth certificate. No period. My whole life.
Yours was probably handwritten though, too.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
Nobody was typing anything in 1981.
Or it was a typewriter.
That's
tap,
exactly
tap, tap,
right.
And that was all that they could work there. So yeah, no, that's a, listen, when it comes to video games, they're a good distraction. Good distraction.
Tecmo Super Bowl in the house.
All right. It is time to go out to the hot seat, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Wild Fork Foods, wildforkfoods.com. Elite Game Day grilling favorites from Wild Fork Foods. By the way, if you haven't been to Wild Fork Foods, go check it out.
I'm going to have to.
I went in there. I saw a Wagyu brisket in there, and I was like, what is happening right now? Ooh. It's phenomenal. But it is Eric Chiafalo from the G-Bag Nation joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece. Eric, how's everything out there, man?
Oh, my gosh. It's fantastic, fellas. I mean, once the Rangers make a move, it'll get a little bit better. But we have a padded practice today.
Ooh.
And just really having a good time. Got the Jerry party tonight. Are you kidding me? I'm gonna set a sushi record tonight alongside Wolchuk. We're going to tag team this thing together, and we're confident in what we're going to do. We're going to put up numbers.
Yeah. So here's the thing about the Jerry party. They have the nice whiskeys. And I know that
and tequilas.
And I know one year you were like, I have never had this type of whiskey before. I'm going to drink as much as a can of it. Is that another goal, or are you kind of settled in on, I'm just going to taste a couple. I want to taste more sushi.
I think, don't get me wrong, the sushi and whatever little bites of toothpick steak they have are the one seed and the priority. But we did You know, when you get around, like Sean and RJ, dude, they got like the bar basically set up. They like had their own morning show bar situation on the patio of the hotel. So I've already done a touch more boozing than I anticipated, but I did take a rest day yesterday.
Okay.
So that I could enjoy the top shelf offerings from Jerry tonight.
Let the liver recover just a little bit before. Last time that I went out to a Jerry party, it's at Nobu in Malibu.
Okay.
I remember we looked out into the water, Eric, and we saw a man breaststroking in the ocean.
Okay.
And he, like, this wasn't a dude, like, next to the land.
He was out there.
He was out there, and he went, how far do you think he went? And they said he did it every single day. Was it maybe 6 football fields he traveled?
Yeah, minimum.
Back and forth.
We thought it was Michael Phelps for a minute, didn't we?
Well, he's in Baltimore teaching the Ravens how to swim.
Yeah, I saw that. That was nice. That was a great video. But we thought it was an Olympic swimmer out there for sure. And then I couldn't believe that Corey took his clothes off and skinny dipped.
Yeah, it was nice. It felt good. The water was colder than I expected, which makes sense.
Shrinkage.
When I got out of the water. So.
Yeah. I was still impressed.
That's a good friend right there. That's a good friend always making you feel good.
How much Oski Woski have you guys been imbibing in down there? Because, and the reason why I'm asking is this, because I know it's California. And the only reason I ask is because I got the most random text message from Gavin Dawson last night. Me and Gavin have texted twice in the year that I've known him.
He just pulled up into the broadcast position with his Lorna Dunes, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Okay.
He texted the
cookie, right?
Night.
The cookie, right? The Lorna
Dunes? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is on. Okay. So apparently, I didn't realize that Gavin was quite the cookie connoisseur. Mm. You tell me.
He's big on sweets.
Gavin Dawson, who we've texted twice, one to just, you know, share numbers. The last time me and him texted was on June 16th when I wished him a happy Father's Day. Then last night at 21:11, because my phone's in 24-hour time, which is 9:11 for those of you on the average 12-hour clock, my God, these Vortmans are elite.
Is that what you did, Dawson?
Because I don't know if you remember this, about 6 weeks or so ago, Fred, you looked at me and said, "Do you like sugar wafers?" And I was like, "Yes." Now you're speaking my language, Fred. So you told me about these Vortmans, and I'd stash it in the back of my head. So we're at Vaughn's down in Ventura yesterday after the show, and I was perusing the cookie aisle. I was like, you know what? Fred told me about these Vortmans. I got to give these a shot, because usually I'm either a Keebler or a Ruger guy with the sugar wafers, but I think those are the best.
I don't even remember telling you about them. So but again, this was before my Oski Woski detox. So who knows? Who knows? Hell, I don't even remember talking to you about Vortman. So at least one of us is a little bit more present than the other one is. So I appreciate that.
I was a bystander in the conversation. I do remember that taking place. So,
you do?
This is all true and facts.
Okay.
This was like
pretty amazing.
I would never, like I said, I am a Gavin Dawson fanboy, so let's make that clear. So I'm not saying I didn't tell him that. I just don't recall.
Well, we got in the car. Obviously, me and Walchuk and Broadus last night had to make our second stop at Spencer McKenzie's for dinner. And so when we just got in the car to come to camp, I was asking Dawson, like, what was dinner last night? He was like, honestly, I think it was just cookies and Diet Coke.
Not a bad diet right there.
My boy is
on the road, too.
He's in camp mode.
Wow.
I was working,
right? And I thought at any minute, like, the work's going to be done and this is going to wrap up. And then the next thing I know, it's like 11 o'clock California time. And I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to eat the rest of these cookies and go to bed.
See, this is one of my favorite moments was we were at Super Bowl in Arizona. Yeah. And everybody was like, all right, we're leaving. And I was like, I needed to leave anyway. And so I gave Eric a high five and I start walking off with Dawson and Mike. And we get to where DJ is, and DJ has this handful of sweets. And all of a sudden, they all, like Mike and Dawson, just disappeared. And I was like, I thought we were leaving. And both of them come back with handfuls of sweets.
Absolutely.
DJ then has a churro in his hand, and they went, where did you get the churro? And then they ran to the churros, and I was like, those dudes have sweet tooths for sure.
That's crazy.
That was an amazing night.
That was a great Super Bowl party.
It was.
Wasn't it?
Yes, that was the first time we saw that Bobby chugs vodka and sodas. That was the first night.
I need Fred. I'm going to have to show you my favorite video in my phone that features one Corey Majors and one Super Bowl media party.
It's not to be seen, Eric.
Ooh.
That is a...
Okay, you getting crumb?
That was a good meatball. I'll put it to you that way.
Really good meatball.
It took a long time to that was kind of dry, but it was very, very tasty. Yeah, no, okay. Absolutely. You're welcome to show that to Fred now that he knows.
Mum's a word.
The guys, can you tell me a little bit about yesterday's practice and what was going on before everything went down?
Okay, I have a great surprise for you, and here is the surprise.
What's up?
Oh, it's Brian Brocks.
Man, did you guys see him in the stands with the roster blocking the sun to burn his dome? It was in his natural habitat. Break it down for us.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Actually, I appreciate Coach Shoddy practicing on the field over on the stand side because you could stand halfway up there and really get a good view of practice. But yeah, overall though, you know, this continues to be those practices where like there's really good balance with offense and defense, like winning on, you know, maybe one play you get a nice, you know, a reverse and the defense doesn't handle it well, then the next time they bring a slot blitz, and you know, it kind of has been balancing it out that way. But you know, for these guys to come out here, I mean, I think they're doing a really good job, Shoddy, of getting guys in those positions to make plays. I know it's always been coach speak where it's like, oh, we need to run the ball better, we need to play defense, we need to get my guys in position to make plays. Honestly think these coaches are doing a pretty good job of doing that. I mean, the last guy I thought I'd ever see on a slot blitz that would get home was Deron Blant, you know, and so they obviously are thinking about some things, the double A gap looks, that stuff that Micah was really good at. I just feel like that these coaches are trying to do things that, you know, and maybe that's the advantage of Shoddy being here through the Mike McCarthy era, that he kind of saw all the F-ups, and he's not going to go that path.
Yeah, that was something, and I know I saw Wolchuk mention this in his notes, and I saw his TikTok too. Fantastic work there.
Thanks, buddy.
But the
surprise!
I love surprises. This is great. One of the notes that you had, Zach, and this is something I noticed while we were out there, and last year I thought when Overshown got hurt, we lost team speed. And it feels like this team speed across the board has gotten better.
Yeah, and Brian can attest to this because it kind of reminded me just watching them. And look, I mean, it's like a very small sample size. Today we'll get a better indication with pads. But their ability to swarm to the football, and especially laterally, like they were able to stretch a run play out to the sideline, and they were a team that would get gashed along the edge. I do think they did a better job. Like Marshawn Nealand, that was his strength coming out of school. Yeah. So having him healthy, having Peyton Turner, like they've got some better ends to really help set the edge, but also a corner like Kyer Elam that's willing to come up and run support. Deron Blant, willing to do that. But the speed at linebacker, even without Overshown, to your point, Corey, like Maris Leifau can run, right? I mean, Damone Clark has been pretty good out here. He's a guy that can run sideline to sideline, even if the instincts aren't always there. So to me, like they do. They can flow and run to the football. It's going to need to be team defense. And I do think, and Brian's been preaching this for a long time, maybe the most overrated thought in football is the fact that you've got to have some fat ass one tech to be able to stop the run. Yeah. The way teams are now scheming up the running game and hitting you with counters and misdirection and really running along the perimeter, that can kind of take out a player. And even when the Cowboys had that guy in Jonathan Hankins, we still complained about their ability to stop the run. So I think they're utilizing their team speed to their advantage because they also have that along the front with Solomon Thomas, Osa, Diggy Zua, and company.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the edge there. That's one of my knocks on Micah the last couple of years. It felt like they said, we can run right at you. And that was a feeling we know we can run at that guy. We can take him out of a game. We can wear him out. We can also take him out of a play by running right at him. And from the sounds of it, they're prepared for something like that. That's nice to hear.
The question I have for y'all is this. So we talked to Mickey this morning, and again, we know who 1A, 1B. That's right. I know you guys got beef, so I'm going to go ahead and instigate
Mickey
real quick.
Hate each other. Let's be honest here.
Has
Let's
he not... sat in your chair yet, Broadus?
No, no. He would rather sit in the bad white folding chair. I have $100 chair that will rock, and you know, you're comfortable in it. I mean, Majors, my gosh, you looked like you were sitting in a first-class seat.
So nice.
When you were laying back doing radio. But yeah, Mickey, he saw my name tag on the seat and kicked it aside. He just kicked it.
Wow.
Kicked it over the corner.
Well, let me instigate a little bit then, and maybe you guys can, you know, like I said, eat kind of an East Coast, West Coast type beef here. So he said there's no way, and I'm paraphrasing here, that Jalen Tolbert doesn't make the roster. Because I told him, I said, look, I haven't heard anything good about Jalen Tolbert yet. The only thing I've heard about him is a couple drops. All right. And we know Mingo and Turpin, are fighting over that 3-4 spot. Where is Tolbert? What have you guys seen from him? And could he, because my question was, is there any way he could potentially be a camp casualty?
Well, this is where Tolbert's at, because he was competing, I felt like, with Mingo for the third spot. And then what's going to happen at 4? The loser that might be at 4. But the problem with Tolbert is he when I was initially here, a couple of really good routes, those comeback routes where he's going to drive somebody and then plant and come back to the ball and catch the ball. The problem is we haven't really seen that much for him. And to be honest with you, we have seen, and I'll throw a guy in there. Jalen Brooks has actually shown up more. Okay. And so you've got this. What's going to happen? How many receivers are you going to be able to keep? Are you going to keep 6? Are you going to keep 5? Well, you got to include Turpin in there as one of the receivers. So that takes something out of here. But I just kind of feel like, though, to me that, the Jalen Brooks of the world are kind of, having they're trying to get back into the mix. And the Jalen Tolberts are just kind of struggling a little bit with, with some of the opportunities that they've had here the last several practices.
I'm not sure if we touched on this yesterday or not, but is there a dead giveaway with that third receiver rotation of Mingo, Tolbert, and Turpin of we kind of know what you're going to do? Is it really they can mix it up?
They mix it up pretty good. I mean, they've run out of having Turpin in there, and they've thrown out of having Mingo in there. So they really haven't. It's not like what you used to have with Noah Brown. When Noah Brown was in the game, you were probably going to get cracked toss, And so they've done a pretty decent job of not telegraphing that stuff.
Did you forget your hat? Is that why you did? You had the roster on your head?
No, what happened is, I've got my Reliant hat on today. Yeah, because
looks,
I know
looks good.
Yeah, thank you. And so, but when I usually wear my
you got a bucket hat, don't you?
Yeah, my bucket hat does not fit the headphones do not fit over the bucket hat, and so I had to kind of improvise and. That's why people said I looked like a dork and stuff like that. But that's okay.
Hardest working dork in football. Let's talk about it.
I was just up there trying to evaluate and see and do the best I could for the listeners.
Do you guys know what the real definition of a dork is?
No.
No.
Tell us.
DJ does. He's chuckling right now.
What is it?
I feel what like is an inside DJ? Joke. He just mouthed it. He said whale's penis.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it. Guys. We will talk creep. With them at
that's
1:40.
True, man. Watch the damn Discovery Channel.
That is the G-Bag Nation. We'll talk with them at 1:40 during Crosstalk today. It could be 1:40. Broadus knows it could be 1:48. We never know exactly when we'll get him on for that. But I really appreciate all the entire crew
seriously
hopping on for the conversation there. They got 2 more days there, and then they make their return. That's today and tomorrow. Make their return.
We're just
back
living
to
vicariously
DFW.
Through them.
That's what we're doing.
Well,
and
you,
I enjoy
you got
it.
To go. I'm talking
I
about
did
from the
get
night
to,
show.
Fred, that was my goal in life, was to be able to go out there. To be able to be at a training camp, whether it was San Antonio or California, and I've been able to do it, and it's been everything that I thought it would be. Coming up next, we will see if Brian Schottenheimer has some thoughts on yesterday's practice and more. Next on the C Block on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.